that's here today. Pastor spoke with him just a little while ago on our drive up, and he made sure that he wanted me to let you know that he misses you and wanted to send his love and greetings. And I assured him that I would make sure I did that. And in case you don't know, the Arderys love you. Just in case you don't know. And Sister Arderi, they love you too. Amen. Amen. I know there's always a lot of emphasis put on the pastor. Not so much toward the pastor's wife. But I want to tell you, there's no price tag you could pay to have that help meet walking beside pastor that's leading you. I sent him a little text when he asked me to come and be here this morning, and he let me know that he wasn't going to be here, but his wife and family would be here. I said, well, at least the senior pastor will be here. So he sent back a smiley face, and he understood. But we do love you, sister. Our dear, we love you very much. Love this church. Love this family. And love all of you. I may not always remember your names. I'm having a hard time right now remembering my grandkids' names. But it's... Just want you to know that my wife and I, both love coming here. We love being here, and just so honored to be in friendship with Pastor and as closely as we are. So glad my wife is here with me today, and. I've been told multiple times around the world, Bishop Ellis, you know why God uses you the way he does? It's because of that wife God gave you. I said, man, you've come too late to tell me that. I've known that. So, amen, amen, amen. In case you're wondering, I do look like something out of a freak show this morning. I'm having some, I'm assuming, pollen issues. Dealt with it last week, and then it got pretty much cleared up, and then mowed the grass this week, and it lit me up again. And I had never had pollen issues before. I dealt with food allergies. But God healed me of that 2 years ago, and I've never had any issues since. And but I've not had, this is kind of a new situation. Thank you to the sister that walked up. Evidently, she recognized me rubbing my eyes and handed me a little deal, and I trusted what you said and put a couple drops in, and I realized I can't see. So it's clearing up now. I just give me a little time so I can see my nose here. No, it's all right. It's good. You know, I found out that prayer in Jesus' name and some Advil do wonders. You know, so I just put a couple drops in Jesus' name, and we'll do our best to get through this message today. Believe really that I've heard from the Lord for you today. and so excited about what God is doing here. It's amazing what God is doing here, and just so much appreciated. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. If you want to remain standing, you can. We've got just a couple verses of scriptures we want to read. Reading from Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. And I appreciated the reading of the word this morning because it was exactly where we are. It was a confirmation of the message today. And so thank you, son, for the scriptures that you read today. And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And then Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. One translation, I believe, says, is alive or active in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Amen. I'm preaching a message this morning titled, Releasing the Power and the Potential Within You. Releasing the power and the potential within you. Will you lay your Bibles down and will you lift your voice? Can we pray together one more time? Father, so much we honor you. In Jesus' name.
Pastor, word be spoken, God. Lord Jesus, this morning, God, as we venture into this time of your word, God, we ask that your spirit saturate this sanctuary. Lord, you know what needs to be spoken. God, you know what needs to be heard. God, you know the souls of every person that is here this morning, Jesus, and what they desire to hear from your word. God, we ask you to speak this morning. Use your servant, Lord God, to speak your words as the oracles of God, and help us, Lord, to prepare our hearts to receive it, Lord, that it can be lodged deep into our heart, Lord, that we can find a place, Lord, where it can manifest itself in our lives. Lord, we appreciate you, and we love you for this opportunity, God. Speak in this service, Lord, and let your servant servants here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Will you clap your hands to the Lord? Will you shout to God with a voice of triumph? Come on, he's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. And you may be seated, releasing the power and the potential that is within you. This message was born in me one morning after prayer. As I was walking out of our balcony at the church in Canton, headed to my study, I felt prompted by the Holy Ghost to listen to an audio series that I had purchased by a best-selling author, Hiram W. Smith. The title of the series was called What Matters Most? What Matters Most? I actually found it at a thrift store a few weeks prior, and it was one of those things that just, you know, you're walking by and it just catches your attention. And I bought it, and I put it on my church office desk. And like other things, it sat on my desk for several weeks. But this particular morning, the Holy Ghost prompted me to listen to it. And as I listened to the first segment, and it was only 12 minutes long, the Lord began to speak to me so specifically that I couldn't write fast enough. My sincere desire, however, is for that to change in 2024. Now, what am I talking about? I believe that when the Lord is directing us to do something, we don't put it off. We don't just lay it aside. We don't just... And as I began to listen to that segment, I was totally amazed at what I was hearing. I pray that God will help all of us so that our obedience to God and to His Word will always match our understanding of what we know to do. I heard it said that it's really not new revelation that we need. There just needs to be something in us that is willing to do what we already know. You know, science was never one of my favorite subjects in school, primarily because my brain doesn't function that way. I do think I passed one math class. I think I passed pre-algebra. But my brain doesn't work in science and mathematics. And for those of you that are brainiacs, God bless you. My wife and I have a grandson, and I am not exaggerating when I tell you this, is a genius. And he just told me this at Easter, he's taking his very last math class. There are no other classes that are beyond. He's a tutor, actually, at Kent State University, though he's still a student. And they've already got him on staff there. He's not talking about, you know, just getting a degree. He's talking about how many doctorates he's going to. He's already going to be getting his master's. And I think he's only in his third year of college. And he's bypassing the master's and he's going straight to a doctorate. So I'm saying all that to tell you, I know what happened. God bypassed me. And he took all of those genes for mathematics and he dropped them in my grandson. I told him, I said, I'm so glad that Ellis gene is running strong in his life. So that was a little long discourse to tell you. My brain doesn't work in science or mathematics. However, I've always been intrigued by those things in nature and in creation that are unexplainable, yet undeniable. The atom is one of those subjects. There's no place in the world that experienced the power and the potential of the atom more than the country of Japan. I was in Japan in 2017, for ministry and traveled to several parts of the country. And while traveling to speak at a minister's conference, the late missionary Doan, David Doan, took us to Hiroshima. I stood at ground zero where the nuclear bomb exploded over the top of the people in the buildings below. On August 6th, 1945, at 8:16 a.m. Japanese time, an American B-29 bomber dropped the world's first atom bomb over the city. It exploded 1,900 feet directly over a hospital, unleashing the equivalence of 12,500 tons of TNT. Approximately 80,000 people were killed. And as a direct result of the blast, another 35,000 were injured. It's estimated that an additional 60,000 were dead by the end of the year from the effects of the nuclear fallout. There were 90,000 buildings in Hiroshima before the bomb was dropped. Only 28,000 remained after the bombing. Of the city's 200 doctors before the explosion, only 20 were left alive or capable of working. There were 1,780 nurses below before, 1,780 nurses before the bombing. Only 150 remained that were able to help and take care of the sick and the dying. Even though I stood there 73 years ago, it was one of the most sobering experiences that I've ever had in my lifetime. The building you're going to see here, where missionary Les Clevenger and I are standing in front of, it was left as a memorial of what happened on that dreadful day. Here's what we've got to understand. The atom that enabled that much power to be released is so small it can't be seen by optical instruments. Now he's going to pull up a picture of the atom here if you look at it. It is said that 10 million atoms would only occupy 1 millimeter of space. 1 millimeter is 4/100ths of an inch. Proton, neutron, are in the center of the atom. And they make up what's called the nucleus. You see it. Electrons surround the nucleus. Protons have a positive charge. Electrons have a negative charge. The charge on the proton and the electron are exactly the same size, but opposites. Neutrons have no charge. Since opposite charges attract, protons and electrons attract each other. Now, how many of you knew all of that? You knew all that data. Now, what is so amazing to me is that these three extremely tiny particles, protons, neutrons, and electrons, they form, they form the building blocks of all matter. Keep in mind, however, none of this activity can be directly observed. Think about that. Yet how these three tiny particles working together in a very unified way form the atom. It remains a phenomena that confounds scientists to this day. Think about it. One of the greatest discoveries of all time is not that the atom exists, but how man discovered it. Again, we're talking about something that can't be seen. They not only discovered the atom, but they learned how to harness it and release the power from those tiny particles that cannot be seen with the naked eye. Are you wrapping your brain around this? If it weren't for the evidence, it would be almost impossible to believe. The good news is this, however. Nuclear power can be used for good as well as for evil, depending on who's in control of it. The purpose of this message this morning is not to teach a science class and bore you with a lot of data. I couldn't do that if I wanted to, quite frankly. Neither is there any attempt to focus on the negative and create fear. Just the opposite is the case. There is a much bigger message that God wants to communicate this morning for your prayerful consideration. Now, much like the atom, God placed within each of us who are spirit-filled, a power and a potential that is supernatural, that cannot be seen with the naked eye. Yet, if effectively discovered and released, has the ability to achieve much more than we could ever comprehend. How do we know that? We know that because of the evidence left behind. Anybody in here changed since you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Anybody in here think differently? Act differently, walk differently, live differently, love differently since you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I tell us in the fear of God today, God's power and the potential that's available only has to be realized, coupled with the spiritual guts to obey what God says do for it to be released. One of the things I appreciate so much about Pastor R. Derry, and if I can say it this way, is his spiritual guts. There's a boldness in him that I so appreciate, which is why God is using this church the way it is. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, now faith. Now, everybody say, now faith. Now faith, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Drop down to verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Paul said, it's according to the power that is alive and active in us. However, we must believe that he is. And that he is. Everybody say he is. Not that he was. Not that he will be. Not that he did. Not that he will. But that he is. He is. What is he? He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Is there anybody in the house that's in search of him today? Come on, don't you understand? You'll never know him totally. You'll never understand him completely. And yet the Bible says that it's God's will that we know the height, the depth, the width, the breadth. That we understand a knowledge that's not knowable. That we understand a love that passes all knowledge, and yet God wills we understand it. Let me share with you three components that I believe must be discovered in our life before we will ever reach our full potential in Christ. And I say that both individually and collectively. Number one, the gifts and the abilities that God has placed in each of us. Do you understand that when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there were gifts placed in you? Well, I know I received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yes, we all. I heard T.W. Barnes say one time, there's only one gift I know I have 24/7, 365, and that's the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thankful for that power that resides in us, and what you and I need to realize, that gift isn't some little additional something, but that gift is literally God himself dwelling in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I know I've used this illustration before, so I'm not going to do it in full reality here, but you'll understand. If I took one of these, are these lilies? Okay, just make sure. If I took one of these lily pots here and I walked it back and I gave it to my wife, she would be receiving a gift from me. Okay? But if I walked back down, back to her, and I sat down in her lap, put my arms around her, looked her in the eyes and said, here I am. I'm the gift. It's one thing to give a gift. It's another thing to be the gift. Do you understand when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? He's the gift. He's the gift. But how many times has pastor or one of the elders come and laid hands on you, prayed over you? How many times have you laid your hands on your children and you prayed over them? Do you understand that without question, there were gifts imparted into you? There were abilities imparted into you. God has given every one of us both spiritual gifts and natural abilities. And it's so important. How many want your children to grow up realizing what they are able to do? Don't you understand? God wants us as his people, as his church, as his kids, to grow up and use the spirit and the potential power that he's placed in every one of us. He wants us not just to know it exists, but he wants us to be willing to allow him to release it through us. Come on, lift your hands all over the house. Love the Lord right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There's a second thing we need to know. The governing values and standards that we choose to live by. Now, that doesn't sound real spiritual, but I assure you it's very spiritual. Standard is a word we don't use much anymore. We don't like to hear pastor talk about standards. I remember one time I was preparing a leadership class. And the title of the class was a question. Why a standard? And I entered into that class not having the answer. But I was in search myself. How many musicians do we have in the house? Could you imagine what it would be like if there wasn't a standard pitch? If one morning you decide you want to play in the key of E flat. Sister Arderi says, I don't care what key you want to play in. I'm playing in C. And every instrument on the platform was all playing in a different key. Do you know why you can go to different countries, not speak their language, but play in great harmony? Because everybody knows there is a standard pitch, and their instruments are tuned by a standard pitch. Any carpenters, contractors, doors? Anybody know how to read a tape measure? Maybe that's an easier question. So one morning, the carpenter gets up. He looks at the plans for his house. And he is really feeling good. So he decides that instead of an inch being an inch, he's going to make it an inch and a half. Because he just feels good. The next day he comes, takes that same blueprint, but he had a bad night. A little grumpy. So he decides an inch is 7/8. Can you imagine the chaotic situation he would have trying to build a building, but every measurement has a different rule or standard? Come on, put your finger up here and flip your brain on. How many understand there are some things that's just common sense? Can you imagine what our world would be like if there weren't some standards that God put in place? You know what the answer I came to, Brother Klein? This Bible is a book of standards. It sets the boundaries. It tells us what's good. It tells us what's evil. It tells us the things we need to know. How to love. How to act. How to treat your spouse. How to treat one another. It's amazing what this book will teach you. I'm telling you, it's God's will for us to understand the governing values and standards that we choose to live by. Why? Values are revealed by what we do. based on what's important to us. And so I ask the question, what are those things in your life that's not negotiable? Not going there. Can you name them? But Bishop, why does that even matter? They matter to God and should not be for sale. These are values and convictions that are not only worth living for, but they're worth dying for. The governing values you establish in your life become the bedrock and the platform that not only will help you establish your gifts and abilities, but will also establish your place in life and in ministry. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. There are times and there are places where this unseen power and potential that God put in each of us by His Spirit is supposed to be released out of us. In other words, you have to understand it's in you and not be content until it's released through you as God chooses. And then there's a third thing. We need to be stewards of the daily mission that God has called each of us to fulfill. You shall be witnesses unto me, Jesus said. You shall be. This mission, however, will require more, hear this, it will require more than just discovery. It will require your absolute best effort to fulfill it every day. It's one thing to discover what it's capable of doing, but it's another thing to allow it to be released daily in and through your lives. See, the good news is this, that when the kingdom, when God and His kingdom is truly our mission, truly our passion, truly our focus, Jesus partners with us with supernatural power, enabling you and I to achieve what we never could do otherwise. Sister Derry, I'd be willing to guess that you and Scott, there was probably no way you really could see all this when you first started. Am I telling the truth? But you know what else? To see where it's going to go. You're probably just as blind right now as you were 20 years ago. And I'm not saying that from a negative perspective. See, there's this little verse of scripture that says, I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those that love Him. But we don't stop right there. Because the Apostle Paul continued then and said, but, everybody knows there's always a but in our life. But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. Now, do you put your brain around it? It's not possible to see it. It's not possible to know it. It's never been heard before. It's not possible. But God's already revealed it. He's already made it known. But he doesn't do it through the natural brain. That's why you'll never stand on the outside of the church and, well, how many has ever had somebody say to you, "I don't understand that. That doesn't make a bit of sense to me. Why in the world do you guys do this? And what in the world? That doesn't make a lick of sense." Don't get shocked by that. Paul went on to say the natural man cannot discern the things of the Spirit. Why? They are only spiritually discerned. Jesus told Nicodemus, "Except a man be born of water and of Spirit, he'll not see, nor will he enter into the kingdom of God." The word "see" there is not talking about with the optical eye, but it's talking about perception, understanding. You're not going to even know the things of the Spirit. It's not capable to know it without the Holy Ghost. But I'm looking at a house full of people today that I would say the majority of you are Spirit-filled. You've been baptized in Jesus' name. You've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues. Well, I want to tell you, it's time for you to graduate. It's time for you to get beyond just being able to know 1 + 1 and 2 + 2. God's got some things that he wants to spiritually reveal, to spiritually know, to spiritually understand. There's a power and there's a potential that resides in this church right now. But it's not going to come to pass just passively, just casually. There's got to be something in your heart that understands. There's a mission that the church has been given. It's given individually, but the purpose of the individual mission is to fulfill the church mission. You know what I believe? I believe Pentecostal Community Church and all of its campuses has been assigned to a mission. And I say to you, mission possible. Mission possible. There's a discovery that's yet to be made. There's a potential that's yet to be untapped. You haven't seen it all yet. You haven't done it all yet. Really? If Pastor R. Derry is as normal as, well, forget that. You're listening to this, or you're going to listen to this. It's not what I meant to say. If he probably ever got transparent with you and told you what he's felt the Lord has put in his spirit for this work, you'd probably think he was nuts. Which is why he hasn't told you. But carefully, prayerfully, he and his precious handmaiden are trying to walk you step by step. Thank God for what we've discovered, but there's more to discover. Thank God for where we've gotten to, but there's more to get to. Aren't you ever satisfied, Pastor? Isn't there ever enough? God's got a will for you. And see, this work is never going to be done by two people. Add their boys in it. It's not enough. Not enough. You've got a momentum going right now. I can feel it. There's a momentum that you've not had before. And you can walk casually, passively. Let's just have good church. I felt the Lord spoke to me several years ago, and he said, because the strife, the pursuit was, well, let's just have good church. I felt the Lord say to me, the moment you give yourself that having good church is your goal, you'll stop having good church. See, God's got this unique ability to stretch us outside of our norms, outside of our comfort. And I want to speak to your generation. I want to speak to the students. Some of you are in here, the older. I guess the kids are all back there. But I'm going to tell you something. And I don't know how many of you were at the conference on Friday night, the Master Youth Rally. But I'm going to tell you that there was something spoken, I believe it was in that service, that I have absolutely believed and I absolutely preach. The greatest challenge this generation right now is facing is the challenge of comfort and convenience. My goal in life is to be comfortable. My goal in life is to get enough things around me that life's just convenient. Look, that's natural. I get it. I drive a nice car. And if that dies, I plan to drive another nice car. I live in a nice home. But we've got to understand, God is not at all intimidated to call us out of our comfort level. See, he's got this habit of calling apostles to step out in the midst of their worst storm to do what's not possible. How many know walking on water is not possible? But Jesus said to Peter, come. And he did. He did. Lift your hands and love the Lord all over the house right now. In the name of Jesus. Here in the name of Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. When we allow God and His Word to guide us, each of these three components begin to shape our life. They shape our ministry. And you'll find yourself walking through doors that you never dreamed possible. Hear me, please. There are no limits to what God can and will do through each of you. No limits. If, however, we allow our flesh to govern us, there are no limits to the depth of sin and evil that we could become involved in. The greatest enemy of the world, that the world is facing today, it's not the devil. It's human, unrestrained flesh that's out of control. And as I've already alluded to, it's driven by a lust for comfort, for convenience, and just absolute selfishness. Never forget, the power to lead and influence people will also give you the power to mislead them and to ultimately destroy them. Jesus, speaking about Satan, said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am coming that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." That's the exact order Satan desires to work. He wants possession first. He wants to possess your mind. He wants your time. He wants your finances. He wants your prayer life. He wants your passion. He wants your willingness that you've had to serve and minister, so that ultimately he can destroy your future and the future of those who follow your influence. His ultimate desire is to destroy us, so that all that could have been good is now used for evil. I've often said this: the devil would rather use good people, because the collateral damage is greater. I close with this. There is an untapped reservoir of power and potential that God desires to release through PCC and its campuses. For that to happen, however, the daily mission of the church must be your first priority and your number one focus. What is that? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Jesus said. The mission requires your best effort every day. That's when God, however, partners with us to do his greatest work through us. But I say the mission is, everybody say that. The mission is our personal contribution to God's eternal plan. It's the very reason we were born. It's the reason we exist. It's the reason the church exists. And I don't mean to sound strong or negative, but if we fail the mission, we fail. The kingdom of God is bigger and more important than any one of us. I remember the client, I was going through a little situation. I'm not going into the details of it. But I sat down with my bishop across his office. I was just bearing my heart. And he looked at me. He said, "Brother Ellis, you've got to remember something. The church is bigger than you and your family." The church is bigger than any one of us individually. At the same time, our role and mission in God's kingdom is critically important to the whole. There is a power and a potential in this room this morning that God wants released throughout this northeast corner of Ohio and beyond. However, you must be in an intentional pursuit of that mission every day. Not settle for anything less. It's bigger than your ability to control. It's more important than satisfying your personal comfort. Stand with me. God's kingdom and mission for this local church requires that each of you do your part. And to do that, believe it or not, you not only need God, but you need each other. Isn't it amazing how God put within nature these incredible examples that parallel what the church is to be? Again, I stood there at Hiroshima, 73 years after the bomb exploded, and I was numb by what I saw. I went into the museum they had with all the pictures, all the artifacts. I was dumbfounded by what I saw. All of it because of a particle so small couldn't be seen. And yet, that unseen particle in all of its togetherness, working together, was able to produce this incredible power. What kind of power would God desire to release through each one of us if we would be on an intentional pursuit of Him? And what He says isn't even possible to understand, and yet He's willing to reveal it. So the altar call this morning is really very simple. If there's anything on the inside of you that desire Him in a level you've never known before, that desire to see God do a work through Northeast Ohio in a way you may have heard Pastor describe it, but in your brain can't quite grasp it. See, don't be like the majority. The majority says, I'm willing to let Pastor and Sister Arderi do that. I'm willing to let the Kleins. I'm willing to let my brothers and sisters just use me. Not possible. I was telling somebody, Mark Condon and I were having a little conversation. I was telling him, in my mind, music was the only thing I was ever good at. It was the only thing I was ever naturally good at. Played guitar, church since I was 9 years old. Then picked around on a piano, and then the organist of the church backslid. I sat down on the organ, became the organist. And of course, all our children are extremely musical. Grandkids, extremely musical. It's in our DNA. But in my mind, I couldn't see. When I started feeling the call of God in my life, it had to be music. I couldn't see myself doing anything else. So I put together a selection of songs, got some instrumentals, some vocal backups, and I was getting ready to record. Because that's all God could do through me. I couldn't pass a math test, but I can hear music really good. So that's the only way God could use me, right? I was sharing that with Brother Condon. Of course, we all know how musical he is and all the recordings and right. He said, you know, Brother Ellis, I had that same challenge. Thought the only way God could use me was through music. Well, today he's pastoring a thriving, growing church in Columbus, just booming. What kind of limits have you put on God? Well, God can only do this through me because I'm this, I'm that, I'm not this, I'm not that. Would you do me a favor? Why don't you walk out of this building today taking the limits off of Him? Taking the limits off of Him. Let this altar service this morning birth something fresh in you. So that when Pastor comes back midweek, he's not even going to recognize you. Not because of your demonstration, but there's just something different in the atmosphere. There's a potential that's just hovering over Northeast Ohio. There's a power just hovering over this region. Just hovering. Waiting to be released. Waiting to do a destructive work in the enemy. Waiting to break carnality. Break selfishness. And allow the power of God to restore and to heal and to deliver. Come on. Our ultimate goal is not just to receive the Holy Ghost and speak with tongues. Our ultimate goal is to allow the Holy Ghost to dwell and work not just in us and become captive there, but something that flows out of us. Come on. You know why there's a Dead Sea? The Dead Sea has an inflow, but there's no outflow. God designed what he put into us to come out of us. It's like rivers of living water. It springs up. Come on. Come on, lift your hands. Open your voice. Let him know, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Jesus. Here I am, Jesus. Come on, no looking around. Just everybody lifting your voice. Lifting your hands. Come on, talk to him right now. Talk to him right now. There's no limit. There's no limit. There's no limit to how God will use you in your school, in your university, on your job, in your business. Come on, there's no limit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on, open your voice. Thank God for a record attendance on Easter. Thank God for a record attendance in this building. But do you understand that what God wants to do through you has got to go outside of these four walls? You'll never build a building large enough to seat, to house, to contain what God desires to do. But he needs you to not just believe it, but discover it. Come on, one more time. I'm turning the service over. Will you open your voice? Come on, will you open your voice? Call out to God. Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. If it's appropriate to do so, why don't you reach out and pray for somebody right now? If it's nothing more than giving them an encouraging word and saying, my brother, I need you. My sister, I need you. How can I help you? What can we do to release this power that God has placed in each one of us? Come on. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord.
King of my joy. We just want to be with you, King of glory, King of glory. Fill this place. We just want to be with you. We just want to be with you. Just wanna be with you, oh King of glory, King of glory, fill this place. We just wanna be with you. We just wanna be with you. Oh, thank you, Jesus, King of glory, King of glory, fill this place. We just want to be with you. We just want to be with you.
Can we just give him a hand clap of praise this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this word this morning, Lord. Thank you for your presence that's here today. Hallelujah. Can we just bow our heads and let's go before the Lord as we close out the service. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, always for your presence, Lord. Lord, for what you are doing in our church. God, as Bishop Ellis said, you can feel the momentum. And God, I pray that each and every one of us would just get behind our pastor, Lord Jesus, that we would buy into the vision. And Lord, I just ask that we would surrender ourselves to you, Lord Jesus, and that we would just do what you would have us to do, Lord. We ask that you would be with us as we leave this place today, and we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.